from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo ensures Idul Fitri preparations. Vice President Sufkala supports Indonesian General Election Commission rule to ban corruptor from running in politics. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a limited cabinet meeting to discuss preparations for the celebration of Idul Fitri 1439 Hijriah. The meeting was held at the presidential office in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon. The limited cabinet meeting is the follow-up of a similar meeting held last April. At the time, President Joko Widodo ordered his staff to start doing calculations so that the stability of food prices ahead of Idul Fitri can be maintained. In his direction, the president made sure that preparation before Idul Fitri is implemented well. Some of the things that concern the government regarding the preparation ahead of Idul Fitri include the readiness of transportation routes, the availability of fuels, and the adequacy of stock and stability of food prices. And this afternoon, I'm requesting update in relation to the readiness of infrastructure and the homecoming routes, the readiness of transportation mode, then the sufficiency of fuel stock during Ramadan and before Idul Fitri Day, and last but not least, there must be availability and stability of the prices of staple goods needed by the people. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also mentioned the readiness of the police in maintaining security stability ahead of Idul Fitri. He ordered Police Chief General Tito Karnavian to report the measures taken by the police to ensure security for the community both ahead and during the celebration of Idul Fitri. President Joko Widodo is optimistic that with strong synergy among the police, the Indonesian military and the State Intelligence Agency, the government can take precautions against any potential disturbances of security and order. He hoped that with the security anticipation made by the relevant apparatus, this can provide peace for the people who implement Idul Fitri prayer 1439 Hijriah. Police Chief General Tito Karnavian reminded the market participants not to play food prices ahead of the celebration of Idul Fitri 1439 Hijriah. This was delivered after attending a limited cabinet meeting at the presidential office in Jakarta. He said that currently, the Food Security Task Force has already begun to perform its duties in the form of market operations. According to General Tito, the task force has taken action against a number of violations. He reminded the market player not to play with the prices of food that will lead into instability.
Kita sudah melakukan operasi penegakan hukum.
We have carried out law enforcement operations as many as 421 cases with 397 suspects. Hoarding is not allowed because Monopoly Act of Food Mafia has been proposed to give deterrent effect to naughty mafia players who will continue to practice hoarding. This mafia can make the price increase and it poses burden to the community. We affirmed that the supply is enough and we remind to the market participants to please do business according to the rules. Those who violate the rules will be dealt with firmly.
Kelangkaan barang, kenaikan harga. Ini membebani masyarakat. Oleh karena itu, pada kesempatan yang baik ini, sekali lagi, kita tegaskan bahwa supply cukup dan kami ingatkan kepada para pelaku pasar, silakan laksanakan sesuai aturan. Yang main-main, mafia, melakukan pelanggaran hukum, kita akan lakukan tindakan tegas untuk itu.
General Tito Karnavian further explained that the police also make preparations for security ahead of Idul Fitri from traditional and conventional crimes. He added that the police had deployed personnel at all crowded points to be traversed by travelers at terminals, seaports, and airports. At these crowded points, the police run Cipta Conditions operation, which will ensure the safety and comfort of the travelers to visit their hometown. Vice President Yusuf Kalla supports the election committee's regulation to prohibit ex-corruption convicts to run as legislators. He believes that the prohibition will allow the Indonesian politics to get the best candidates. Speaking on Wednesday, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that he hopes the provision will reduce the number of corruption cases implicating the members of the House of Representatives DPR. The General Election Commission's decision to prohibit former corruptors from running as politicians sparks controversies. The House rejected the idea at first, as well as the government. The Election Supervisory Board, Bawaslu, and a number of political parties. Those who oppose has argued that the rule may deprive an individual's rights to get elected, to which Vice President Yusuf Kalla disagree with. Minister of Defense Ria Mizar Ryakudu held a bilateral meeting with his U.S. counterpart, James N. Mattis, in Hawaii, U.S., on Tuesday on counterterrorism. The meeting was aimed at reaffirming the commitment of the two countries to their strategic partnership, especially in assessing and overcoming various challenges and threats to security in the region and in counterterrorism efforts. Minister Ria Mizar's visit to Hawaii was on Mattis' invitation to attend the handing over ceremony for the post of Commander of U.S. PACOM or Pacific Command, whose name would be changed to Commander of Indo-Pacific. He also expressed appreciation to the offer of defense cooperation from the U.S. in the meeting. He said that it is in line with Indonesia's commitment to keep fighting against terrorism and building its capacity, whether in the physical or non-physical terms, especially against radical ideology. He added that Indonesia would continue to increase its defense cooperation with the U.S. on land, sea, and air sector. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Head of National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, Suhardi Aliu, said that a special prison for the terrorist convict is needed so that the de-radicalization program could be focused. The special prison for terrorist convict was also built in Nusa Kambangan, South Java, and in Cikeas, Bogor Regency, West Java. Speaking in Jakarta on Wednesday, Suhardi Aliu said that currently there are 289 terrorist convicts that widely spread in 113 prisons in Indonesia. Suhardi also stated that his side needs one exclusive prison for them so the de-radicalization program could obtain progress. He added that the concept of prison for terrorist convicts should be different from general prison. The difference is about the exposure level to radicalism from the lowest to the highest. The Metro Jaya Police's Drug Investigation Directorate uncovered an international drug syndicate operating between Germany and Indonesia. The group was trafficking ecstasy and 10 suspects have been arrested. Jakarta Metro Police spokesman Senior Commissioner Argo Yuwono said in Jakarta on Wednesday that 5 suspects were arrested on May the 4th and 9th, 18 and 19. On May the 4th, the police seized 25,000 ecstasy pills inside food packages after receiving reports from customs and the Central Post Office in Seri Jakarta. Both agencies suspected there are packages containing drugs being delivered to Surabaya, East Java. The police checked the packages and found 25,000 ecstasy pills. On May the 9th, the police arrested two suspects in Surabaya, East Java. After further investigations, three more suspects were also arrested. On May the 8th, the police discovered that the circulation of ecstasy involved a woman associated with drug ring being run from inside the prison. The discovery led to the arrest of two more suspects with 25,000 ecstasy pills in their possession. On May 19, three more suspects were arrested. The Indonesian authorities are still cooperating with the German police to investigate the supplier in Germany. And the last item, Presidential Secretary Pramono Anung said that the construction of Kediri Airport in East Java could begin in 2019 since the permission has been completed. Pramono, as cited from the official page setcap.go.id, on Wednesday asked the local residents to support the land acquisition efforts and hope that this time no one would disturb the people of Kediri for having an airport. He believes the airport construction from PT Gudanggara will bring about positive impact on the economy of Kediri city. In the future, Pramono hopes that the economy rotation is not concentrated only on certain areas such as in Sidoarjo and Surabaya. Following the land acquisition problem, Pramono explained that Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi has issued the permits for the airport construction and Indonesian Air Force has provided their recommendation. Previously, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said that the land acquisition in Tarakan District, which will be the location of the new airport, has reached 80%. In the initial step, the runway base will be built along the 2,400 meters, enough for the operation of the commercial plane Boeing 737. But in the future, this airport will be maximized for the runway base of Boeing 777. And listener to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ensures Idul Fitri preparations. Vice President Yusuf Kalla supports General Election Commission KPU rule to ban corruptor from running in politics. And listeners, that was the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular programmed commentary. The title of today's is Why is June 1st chosen as birth date of Pancasila? The marathon session was conducted by the Board of for Investigation of Preparation for Indonesian Independence, BPUPKA, from 28 May to 1st June 1945. At the time, there were three figures who explained about the basic state. They are Muhammad Yamin, Supomo, and Sukarno. On the 1st of June, the 10th Pancasila Five Principle was introduced by Sukarno and by the members of the board. However, the formulation of the content of this Pancasila was being discussed at some time afterwards, as in the Jakarta Charter. The information about the emergence of the third Pancasila itself was mentioned in Sukarno's speech, which stated about Pancasila as the basis of the state. This was also the basis for the emergence of Presidential Decree No. 24/2016 issued by President Joko Widodo on the birth of Pancasila. Thus, June 1st is also decided as national holiday, and the implementation process of Presidential Decree began in 2017. The history of birth of Pancasila itself comes from the Board for Investigation of Preparation for Independence, BPUPK, which was conducted in Chushangi Int building in Jakarta. The Dutch colonial era, this was called Volstraat building. Now the building is known as Pancasila building. BPUPK is a body formed by the Japanese occupation government on 29 April 1945. This is actually one of the engineers to gain sympathy and support from the people of Indonesia, where Japan would give independence to the people of Indonesia. BPUPKI formed Committee 9, whose task was to formulate the state principle and the constitution to be included in the text of the proclamation. In making the formulation of Pancasila by the Committee 9, it was varied. There were a proposal from Muhammad Yamin and Supomo, while the formally submitted by Sukarno at the time was different from the order of Pancasila that we know today. The state basis submitted by Sukarno at the time was in sequence, namely nationality, internationalism or humanity, consensus of democracy, social order, and belief in the Almighty. But finally, Pancasila was arranged in the following order: belief in one, in the one, just and civilized humanity, Indonesian unity, democracy led by wisdom and consensus, and social justice for all Indonesian people. The celebration of Pancasila's birthday in 2018 headlines the theme, "We are Pancasila, united, sharing, achieving," which means that Pancasila makes the Indonesian nation united and encourage the younger generation to freely enjoy the prosperous life that provides motivation to share. At the 70 years old, Pancasila is no young age anymore. Of course, the attitude and spirit of Pancasila that it is in the younger generation need to be reawakening so as not to fade away. With the anniversary of the birth of Pancasila conducted routinely, it is expected that Indonesian young people will be more sensitive in understanding the importance of Pancasila as the state basis of Indonesia that is able to function as a unifying tool of the Indonesian nation. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for event on May 31st, 1910, when South African Union established. South African Union is a semi-independent state under British domination, established on May 31st, 1910. The establishment of South African Union occurred 8 years after Anglo Boer War ended, which broke out between the Dutch immigrants and British soldiers. Through the establishment of South African Union, the Western immigrants obtained the rights of autonomy to arrange their government under British supervision. In 1961, South Africa was independent as a state of republic, but the white-skinned community who controlled the government applied discriminatory policy on the original owner of South African land, black-skinned people. After a two-long struggle, in 1991, the black skin community of South Africa succeeded to gain their rights, which are in line with white skin community, with the ending of the government of apartheid. And the next event is that 1970, the ninth FIFA World Cup began in Mexico. World Cup of the Federation Internacional de Football Association, FIFA 1970, was the ninth edition of FIFA World Cup, which was held in Mexico on May 31st until June 21st, 1970. This edition was the first edition of the World Cup held outside South America and Europe. This tournament was won by Brazil against Italy by score 1-4, so that Brazil became the first team which won the World Cup for 3 times. Either final match or fighting match of against the third place was conducted at Azteca Stadium, Mexico City. In the event, for the first time, turnover player was allowed. In the tournament, each team was allowed to change the player 2 times. Soviet Union became the first team which conducted turnover when facing Mexico in opening match. And for the first time, the World Cup used yellow and red card for warning and expulsion. And the last event is about World No Tobacco Day. World No Tobacco Day is observed around the world every year on 31st May. It is intended to encourage a 24-hour period of abstinence from all forms of tobacco consumption around the globe The day is further intended to draw attention to the widespread prevalence of tobacco use and to negative health effects, which currently lead to nearly 6 million deaths each year worldwide, including 600,000 of which are the result of a non-smoker being exposed to secondhand smoke. The member states of the World Health Organization, WHO, created World No Tobacco Day in 1987. In the past 21 years, the day has been met with both enthusiasm and resistance around the globe from governments, public health organizations, smokers, growers, and the tobacco industry. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listeners, meet again with me, Daulat Pane, in My Indonesia, entitled Ministry of Environment and Forestry Supports Local Government in Indonesia, Free of Waste 2025 program. The target of Indonesia Free of Waste 2025 by reducing waste up to 30% by 2025 cannot succeed without high commitment of local government in waste management. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry, KLHK, continues to encourage local governments to have policies and strategies for handling waste from waste sources to final waste processing. This was confirmed by the Director General of Waste Management, Hazardous Waste and Hazardous Materials, PSLB3, Rosa Vivian Ratnawati, in her speech at the Mentoring Program of Local Strategic Policy Guidance, JASTRADA Management of Household Waste and Waste Similar to Household Waste in Kalimantan. The event was held in Jakarta Wednesday. According to Rosa Vivian, the local government should prepare local strategic policy guidance as a document describing the target of waste management and achievement quantitatively. Through this guidance, the local government develops integrated waste management programs from the source to the final processing site, or TPA, and is implemented by the entire organization of the region. Since that the guidance will be a master plan of waste management in the region that measure its achievement gradually until 2025. To support the implementation of local strategic policy guidance, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry has established a ministerial regulation on guidelines for the formulation of regional policies and strategies for waste management of household and waste similar to household waste. This guidance will provide guidance to all regions, both provincial and district or city governments, in preparing local strategic policy guidance. Director of Waste Management, Nofrijal Tahar, said that waste management problem is a small problem if the mindset in managing waste is changed. The issue of waste heap must be resolved from the source at the household level by sorting waste. This aggregated waste will be more manageable, so it will be environmentally friendly and potentially have economic value. The program for assistance in the formulation of local strategic policy guidelines for the management of household waste and waste similar to household waste for Kalimantan region this time is the second technical guidance. Previously, this program has been run in the area of Bali, West Nusa Tenggara, and East Nusa Tenggara. Well, listener, that ends My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a limited cabinet meeting to discuss preparations for the celebration of Idul Fitri 1439 Hijriah. The meeting was held at the presidential office in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon. Police Chief General Tito Karnavian reminded the market participants not to play food prices ahead of the celebration of Idul Fitri 1439 Hijriah. This was delivered after attending a limited cabinet meeting at the presidential office in Jakarta. Vice President Yusuf Kalla supports the election committee's regulation to prohibit ex-corruption convicts to run as legislators. He believes that the prohibition will allow the Indonesian politics to get the best candidates. Minister of Defense Ria Mizar Yakudu held a bilateral meeting with his U.S. counterpart, James N. Mattis, in Hawaii, U.S. on Tuesday, on counterterrorism. The meeting was aimed at reaffirming the commitment of the two countries to their strategic partnership, especially in assessing and overcoming various challenges and threats to security in the region and in counterterrorism efforts. Head of National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, Suhardi Alius, said that a special prison for the terrorist convict is needed so that the de-radicalization program could be focused. The Metro Jaya Police's Drug Investigation Directorate uncovered an international drug syndicate operating between Germany and Indonesia. The group was trafficking ecstasy and 10 suspects have been arrested. And the last item, Presidential Secretary Pramono Anung said the construction of Kediri Airport in East Java could begin in 2019 since the permission has been completed. And listeners, that was News in Brief. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In this edition, we will introduce Arja dance from Bali. Stay tuned. Listener, one typical of art in Bali that is still favored by the local people is Arja dance. The type of art is in the form of a theater or a kind of Balinese opera in the form of dramatic dialogue of Majapahit. How the theater actually got the name, nobody knows. But the allegations are from the Sanskrit expressions of Raja, which then got the prefix A to become Areja, then finally turn into Arja, which means beauty. Then the phrase is currently used to name the Arja Theater as we can see it nowadays. In Bali, Arja dance was firstly appeared in 1814 during the reign of Idewa Agung Sakti in Puri Klungkung. The drama of Arja dance take the story derived from the Panji stories, but occasionally take the story from Jayaprana, Pakang Raras, Samtik, Rari Angon, and Arja dance was originally performed by one dancer only and was not being accompanied by gamelan. Arja is called Arja Doyong. Since its performance, Arja dance became an entertainment of Balinese people. According to its function, Arja dance is classified into Balinese dance Balihan group or theater. As a form of theater, Arja is a very complex theater because it is a fusion of various types of art that are available in Bali, such as dance, drama, vocal, instrumental art, poetry, role art, pantomime, fashion, and fine art. All types of art are united in Arja dance. Arja is actually a unification of two theatrical supporters, namely the idea that comes from supporters or players and the audience. As a form of theater art, Arja is very communicative with the audience. For Bali, this is not surprising like other forms of art. From that development, Arja is still very popular among Balinese people, as can be seen on the willingness of people to enliven in the festival held annually until today. So, Arja dance is still scattered in many areas such as Bangli, Klungkung, Gianyar, Arlapura, Badung, Tabanan, Jembrana, and Singaraja. Listener, in addition to an entertainment show, Arja also has educational function. Usually after watching Arja performance, the local community imitating the songs and jokes displayed by the group for days. They will repeat funny movements or expressions about intriguing events in daily life. Therefore, Arja is a very powerful communication facility to deliver messages. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Arja Dance from Bali. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia. Here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tobati language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tobati language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tobati speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tobati language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tobati language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tobati language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tobati language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tobati language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tobati language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tobati language. Engu. Engu. In English, I. Ntricha. Ntricha. In English, they. Want. Want. In English, eat. Nasre. Nasre. In English, popeda. Moghot. Moghot. In English, mount. Rechau. Rechau. In English, to hike. Rora. Rora. In English, yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tobati language. Nu nasre want. Nu nasre want. In English, I eat popeda. Rora ntrica mogot recau. Rora ntrica mogot recau. In English, yesterday they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tobati language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular segment of Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present religious popular songs from Gitorolis. Well listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Cinta Yang Tulus by Gitorolis. Happy listening.
Dia kamu suram kini tiada lagi. Telah bersinar karenamu. Semua yang ada padamu, oh, membuat diriku tiada berdaya. Hanyalah bagimu untuk butuhanku. Seluruh hidupku, semua yang ada padamu, oh, membuat diriku tiada berdaya. Hanyalah bagimu untuk butuhanku. Seluruh hidup dan cintaku.
That was Gitarolis. In his song, ulang salah, that was Gitarolis. In his song, Cinta Yang Tulus. The singer with the real name, Bangun Sugito, is a vocalist of the famous band The Rollies in the 1960s. In addition to The Rollies, Gito also actively released the album as a solo singer. He has released 15 albums including religious album. The religious album entitled Kembali Padanya was released in 2007. The album Kembali Padanya contains the song Cinta Yang Tulus. In a new version of the song, Gito collaborated with Gigi Band Group. The lyrics of the new version of the song were slightly different. The song tells the story of human being who gets enlightenment so that he returns to the path of God. Let's listen to the next song entitled Hanya Padamu Aku Bergantung by Gitarolis. Happy listening.
Yang tak luput dari dosa-dosa.
You've just listened to the song Hanya Padamu, Aku Bergantung by Kitoro Liz. The song, which was composed by Liz Hadi, was also dedicated by Reni Jayusman in 2017. Through this song, Reni Jayusman want to remember and pay tribute to Gito, who died in 2008. The song Hanya Padamu Aku Bergantung tells the story about a man's devotion toward the Creator, God Almighty. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Detik Hidup and Kembali Padanya by Kitoro Liz. Enjoy the song and sampai jumpa.
Detik-detik berlalu dalam hidup ini, perlahan tapi pasti menuju mati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Astagfirullah, minal khotoya.
maha mempesona. Betapapun kita mengkhianatinya, tiada tertutup curahan rahmatnya, selalu dinanti kembali padanya, selalu dinanti bertaubat padanya. Allah Maha Penyayang, penerima taubat, walau dosa sepenuh jagat raya, tiada tertutup pintu taubatnya. Wahai sahabat, cepatlah bertobat, karena ajal kian mendekat. Astaghfirullah, Rabbal Baraya. Astaghfirullah, minal khotoya. Astaghfirullah, Rabbal Baraya. Astaghfirullah, minal khotoya. Tiada tertutup curahan rahmatnya, selalu dinanti kembali padanya. Astaghfirullah, Rabbal Baraya. Astaghfirullah, minal khotoya. Astaghfirullah, Rabbal Baraya. Astaghfirullah, minal khotoya. Bila ku terbuka
sisa hidup hamba. Ya Allah, sungguh kau pengasih. Ya Allah, sungguh kau penyayang. Walau hambamu telah berpaling, namun tiada tertutup pintu maafmu. Dosa yang diperbuat masa lalu, ampun hamba tobat ya arhamar rahim ya rahman ya rahim.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.